Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the But Daddy Why podcast, where we understand the rapid-fire questioning that parents battle all day, every day, especially that one constant, burning, repetitive, ongoing question, that one word, why. We do the research for you so that you have the ammo to reply when the kids reach the ultimate pinnacle of But Daddy Why. My name is Pat Jacobs.
And I'm Eric Binion.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Alrighty, so we did a whole bunch of stuff on Chicago. We kind of went on a whole Chicago swing, and arguably, one would say we should probably be talking more about Chicago.
We should be. It's a very exciting time.
We have the Cubs winning, but we already did that.
We did.
They just didn't win for us last year.
They didn't.
So, on the off chance that that's what messed it up, I think it's a good idea that we just steer clear of that.
Yeah. In fact, let's go really far away from the Cubs. How about that? Maybe that'll keep us safe, maybe.
And by far away, we're not talking about Green Bay.
No. But maybe we will be soon. How about that?
I've heard tell.
Yep. Rumor has it.
Let's go so far away that we're going to go to the outer edges of the universe. Well, not the universe, the solar system at any rate.
There you go.
I was sitting around the campfire. I have a little fire pit that I set up in my backyard-ish area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there with a bunch of the neighbor kids, and one of the neighbor kids asked me about Saturn. He goes, why do we have rings around Saturn? And that was legitimately something I did not know the answer to. I mean, it felt like, hey, I should know what the answer to this is.
Right, yeah.
And then that kind of got me going, we could probably do some questions about the solar system, which is big, and I'm sure there's lots of things we could ask questions. So we grabbed two questions that I think are going to be really cool. And what's even cooler about them is we get to dip right back into Greek mythology.
Yes, we do. I know you're excited about that.
I am so excited about that. So it's a win-win-win if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, when you mentioned it to me and you said, I think we should do something about Saturn, I went, right back into Greek mythology, huh?
I hadn't even thought about that. When he had brought it up, I'm like, oh, hey, that's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are rings around Saturn.
Yeah. What is that all about?
So we got two questions we're going to go over today. Why are there rings around Saturn? And then really, we have to talk about Pluto.
We have to talk about Pluto. It's not very nice. I'm just going to say that now. We'll get to Pluto later. And poor little Pluto.
So let's do this. Saturn's interesting because it's one of the gas giants. Now there's different planets in the solar system. Mm-hmm. So clearly, whatever's going on has something to do with the fact that it's different than Earth is, because we don't see rings. We've seen the pictures of Mercury and Venus and our planet and Mars. No rings.
Right.
Right. Apparently, there are rings around the gas planets. So if you're gassy, you get rings. Don't tell my kids that. I just made a solar system fart joke.
You did. Really, you did. That was fantastic. You slipped that one in there, man.
The funny thing is, I think we're going to go through this and realize that we really don't have the answer, but there's a lot of good speculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, I think it's, and I always think it's good to kind of go back and get a little bit of the history, a couple facts, and everything for everybody. So Galileo was the first to observe the rings of Saturn, right, in 1610, using his telescope, which is just baffling to me. Just totally baffling that you know, even just having a telescope in 1610 that would reach that far and help him be able to see actual rings around that shiny object in the sky that seems to be brighter than most other things. You know, it just, that in itself is baffling to me.
His telescope was not that awesome.
Right. It could have been.
But, and it's interesting, like, my kid's got a telescope. We go out and look at stars and the moon and stuff all the time. But with even if you have your telescope, you go out there, you can, if you can get out on an eye that you can see Saturn, you can actually see the rings. I mean, they're not as brilliant as the NASA photographs.
Right. Right.
You're not like, oh, hey, look at that striated color and blah, blah, blah. It's a big deal.
Man, oh, man.
Galileo knew some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Figured some stuff out. It's pretty fantastic. A couple other quick things. Saturn is less dense than water. Interesting. There's only been 4 spacecraft sent from Earth to ever visit Saturn. 3 of those were just, you know, brief flybys.
Right.
A few missions have been proposed, including, found this interesting, such radical concepts as a sailboat that could traverse the liquid methane lakes on Titan. Saturn has 150 moons and smaller moonlets. That's a lot of moons.
Right.
That's a lot of moons. I mean, it's that whole, you know, science fiction thing of being on a planet, you know, and having multiple moons and seeing all the different phases and things like that all over the sky, that would just be stellar, man. The average day on Saturn is 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 35 seconds. So, you know, the other thing was that Saturn is equivalent to 95 Earths, just to kind of get the size, since we all know how big Earth is.
Yeah. Relatively.
Relatively. I mean, we've measured it, so.
we've measured it. We've stood on top of it.
Yes, yeah. We're good. We're good. Here,
we've got
hold
that
this, hold this measuring tape. Thanks.
Okay. I'll start walking that way. I'll be right back.
All right, so go ahead and wax mythological.
Okay. I think what's interesting, one of the theories of where the rings came from has a funny kind of correlation to the god that he's named after, that Saturn's named after, right? Because Saturn is named, the Greek version of Saturn is Kronos, so and that's the guy that's the father of Zeus and Hades and Poseidon, or if you're speaking the Roman names, Jupiter, Pluto, and Neptune, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the story of Kronos, Kronos eats his children.
Right.
He doesn't eat Jupiter, which is interesting because Jupiter's pretty big and bigger than Kronos, so maybe that's the deal. But and one of the theories behind how these rings got created is that there were bigger moons that broke up and became the rings. So they kind of like it kind of devoured these particles and they just kind of formed these rings around. Now, they can't be 100% sure of that, but it seems to make sense. And with the volume of, you know, there are so many moons going around Saturn that you know, that leads you to believe, hey, there could have been more. There could have been bigger ones.
And that even moons could have been hit by asteroids or comets and exploded and, you know, been sucked into that atmosphere, into that formation or something, right?
Right. I don't know. I remember growing up thinking like I had the cartoons where, you know, Bugs Bunny would go land on Neptune or something, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I want to say that I feel like it was not until college where I actually realized, like, hey, there's nowhere to land. When they say gas giant, it is in fact a big ball of gas that's just got a really dense center of gravity. It's that alone is fascinating. But I think that lends into kind of the theories they have to where these rings come from, because each of the gas giants have rings around them. We just can't see all of them very well, and you have to be in the right place to see the ones that are around Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus. But or Uranus, or some other thing that doesn't sound like I said anus.
Uranus. That's how we always learned it. It's all good.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about those rings for a second. So there have been, I'm going to take a look at this, four spacecraft, like we're talking about, the four missions that have done any sort of exploration of Saturn. So they were Pioneer 11, Voyager 1, Voyager 2, and a ship called, and a thing called Cassini. All right. And they've kind of brought back some interesting facts about the rings. So the rings are 400,000 kilometers wide. Right? That's 240,000 miles for those of you who don't do the metric system.
Right.
That's the distance, like, if you were going to go from Earth to the Moon.
Okay.
The amount of space the rings take up, like, we could walk across them and you'd land at the Moon.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Yeah.
So
okay.
It takes a monumental effort for us to get to the Moon, and that would be just like, hey, we're going across all the rings of Saturn. The individual rings, some of them can be like 100 yards, you know, like a football field wide. For what it looks like, some of the particles that make up those rings, I mean, we're talking about things that are the size of like semi trucks.
Unreal.
Like freight train cars.
Right. But and I mean, even Galileo thought that it was, I believe, three rings.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that he just saw three rings, and as all of these go through, they're just finding more and more and more layers. It's crazy.
Range that they've estimated it is between 500 and 1,000, or like 1,100 rings, potentially. Saturn is, I think, the second biggest planet in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's causing these rings is this immense gravity that it has. Scientists also suspect that another reason why these rings occur and why they're so vibrant on Saturn is that Saturn has this immense gravity field that's just pulling in. It's like too big.
Right.
It's got too much gravity that it's just pulling in stuff as it goes by, where other planets, they have it, they're not trapping debris and space junk the same way. And
Saturn just locks it all in. Keeps it there.
Right. Well, and you know, it's like any mess. Like once it starts collecting, things build on top of each other.
Right, right. There's obviously a lot of gravitational pull going on with that planet. It's just locking stuff in place,
right,
man.
Well,
Not letting it go.
And that's where it came. Like they're wondering, you know, you've got all the stuff floating around there this isn't being caused by stuff hitting Saturn. But all this debris that's sitting out there, having impact with, you know, and potentially, you know, you hit a moon with big enough stuff, you might have moons breaking up.
Right.
So,
and I think that's ultimately the way I'm going about it is, you know, it probably was a moon, a couple moons, something like that, you know, either got smashed by asteroids or comets or smashed into each other or whatever, and just got sucked in, and that's where they lay.
But it's fascinating stuff, you know.
It really is. It really is.
So, the bottom line that we're going to get to on this one is, like, really don't have the answer.
Right.
The best, you know, again, we've only sent four ships, you know, four missions there.
Mm-hmm.
And while we've gotten really cool photographs from it, and we've sent one of them sent a parachute-type probe down onto the surface of Titan, and whatever else, you know, they did up there, we're just barely scratching, you know, the surface of what we know about our own solar system. And as smart as these guys are, you know, we're still speculating. But
right,
you know,
but it's an interesting enough topic that. When kids are asking, "But Daddy, why?" and everything else, like, we could talk about this for a really long time and listen to how amazing this is.
As far as the educational aspect of any of this goes, like our kids can be the ones that figure this out, right?
Right.
But if you're not encouraging them to go do it,
Right.
And saying, hey, that's a really good question. Here's everything I know about it, and it's not everything there is to know about it. So there's more to know, but it's fascinating. Galileo saw it how many years ago, and we still haven't figured it out. We've only been able to get 4 ships to go by it, so we have just a little bit of information, but we have really cool pictures.
Yep.
And you're interested in it.
So get out there and go figure it out, bro.
Right. So that's Saturn. And it's cool, and I think I don't want to live there.
No. No.
I'm kind of attached to this planet.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you were there, you'd be attached to that one. So, you know.
Apparently everything that gets out there is attached to that one.
Everything is.
You get too close to that one, and you get attached.
Right. All right. So, should we get into one of the greatest planets ever?
The greatest one. One of the greatest that ever there was. It's like the shoeless Joe Jackson of planets.
Yes, absolutely. So let's go ahead and talk about a couple facts again.
Okay.
With Pluto. So Pluto's not very big.
No. Nope.
Right? I mean, we know that. It's only half as wide as the United States. Okay? So that's it. That's the whole planet. It's smaller than the Earth's moon. It's not very big.
Nope.
It's just not very big. It takes it 248 Earth years to go around the sun. All right? And one day on Pluto is about 6.5 days on Earth. So again, it's small. And it's working really hard just to travel around the sun. It's not lazy. It's working. It's doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's staying in the race. It's way out there waving its tiny little hand going, hey, I'm here.
But even at that, it's not even always the farthest one out.
True that. Very, very true. There is that.
Sometimes it gets a little closer than...
But most of the time, the majority of the time, you know, in the 248 Earth years it takes to go around the sun, majority of that time, it's just way out there. Just way out there. So Pluto has less gravity than Earth, which means that a person would weigh much less on Pluto. So I don't know how you wanted to go about this, but I've got a little timeline here. Maybe we could go through, and then I think when we get down to the horrible things that started happening to Pluto, you'll probably take over. So Pluto wasn't even discovered until 1930.
Nope.
Correct?
Correct.
And that was by Clyde Tombaugh?
Yep.
Man, we're so good at butchering names.
Tombaugh. I mean, that's like Harbaugh, right?
Oh, Harbaugh? Yeah. So Clyde discovered it in 1930, and then Venetia Burney named Pluto that same year. She was an 11-year-old girl from England. What a great story, man. How could you not love this planet already? So then in 1988, so what is that, 58 years later, Pluto is now classified as a dwarf planet due to its size. It's still considered a planet because it orbits the sun, but it's not large enough to be considered a normal planet. And then it all went horribly wrong for the littlest, hardest working planet in our solar system. And that day was August 24th, 2006. And that was when astronomers met in Prague to declare that Pluto was no longer classified as a planet under... quote unquote, I'm doing quotation mark thingies with my hands, under new guidelines, okay? The solar system now only contains 8 planets.
Bum, bum, bum.
At which point, now I'd love to hear your story of the first time that you heard it. Me, devastated, all right? Angry. My whole childhood has been a lie. Okay,
right.
Because the only thing that kept going through my head was my very excellent mother just made us 9 pizzas, right? That's how you were taught in school, the order of the planets.
Right.
So now, Now, what are they supposed to teach kids? What am I supposed to teach my kids? My very excellent mother just served us nine...
Just served us nothing.
Okay, there you go. She served us nothing. How horrible is that?
It's awful.
That's horrible.
Terrible.
Do you remember when you heard about it?
I did. So, like... So this was 2006 or, that they were doing it, and I was actually, interestingly enough, was when I worked at a public radio station. So it was a big, you know, it was news. We'd, you know, carry the news and talk about it. And I actually had to do some research into it, kind of going, okay, hey, this is weird. Why would you do this? Why?
Why would you kick this little guy out of the family?
Like, well, and there was a, I mean, this was a debate. I mean, you had fervent supporters on either side. Like, it's still a planet. No, it's not a planet.
Right.
And Pluto did not go down without a fight. But let's be fair. When we may have to blame this on that little girl in England.
What?
And I hate to say it.
That's a horrible thing to say. You just blamed an 11-year-old girl.
But here. But here's the deal. We named it Pluto.
Right.
And that did not set it up for a lot of success.
There is that.
Because we're want to do this, or I am, let's go into the mythology, right?
All right.
Now, the Greek gods in general are not good people. I know we like the Percy Jackson and the whatever else, and they make, you know, there's the Hercules movie and we love stuff. But the Greek gods are pretty much terrible. They're toddlers given enormous power.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, maybe not toddlers. Maybe we should say they are teenagers who get to rule everything, and they do it as well as teenagers can do. Pluto or Hades gets the raw end of the stick. If there is a way to screw this guy over, and granted, he does some stuff to himself that doesn't help. But in fairness, he's screwed from the get-go. He's the oldest brother, first one out of the gate, first one down the gullet of his dad. So for the longest time, he spends his life inside his, you know, inside his dad's stomach. Gross.
Right. Yeah. Not good.
Awful. And to make matters worse, he's the one at the bottom of the stack.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, hey, I have, 12 other brothers and sisters we're going to just throw on down here? Awesome.
Sounds
because
great.
There was a lot of space in here to begin with, but sure.
Right. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Neptune, get your elbow out of my eye. I'm busy looking into Dad's large intestine.
Trying to find a way out of here.
So that's bad, right?
Right.
So finally he gets out of his dad's stomach, you know, thanks to his younger brother, who's going to hold this over his head for the rest of his life because...
Of course.
Yeah. You know, hey guys, remember that time when you guys were in dad's stomach and I wasn't?
Yeah.
you remember that
this
time?
Guy again.
Guess what? I'm the best.
That's
oh,
true.
What? You're older? Yeah. You could still be in dad's stomach, so shut it.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, well, all right. Youngest goes first because, yeah, he did kind of save our lives and whatnot. Did get us out of dad's stomach, so yeah, I go first. And Zeus rolls first, and he picks the sky. Great. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to rule. You're up there. You see everything.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, well, there's two things left. Let's roll again. So who gets the next pick? Because there's the underworld where all the dead rotting stuff is, or there's the ocean, like swimming pool for days, the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Baywatch out there. Right?
Right.
Neptune wins out, wins the roll. He gets to go, oh, well, yeah. Rotting dead stuff or the beach. Baywatch it is.
Yep.
I'm going to Hasselhoff this thing right on up.
Right. Who wouldn't?
And then there's Pluto going, well, dead rotting stuff or dead rotting? Gee, I don't know.
I guess.
He gets screwed right out of the gate. So finally, here's a shining moment in 1930. Right? It's time to give Pluto his due. We're gonna name a planet after Pluto for a little under 100 years.
A little under, yep.
Yeah, remember how you got picked last for what you got to rule over? You also kind of got picked last on the planets of the solar system and... He didn't pick a planet for you, actually.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually turns out that, no, we were wrong. We're sorry.
Wrong.
But
so,
you're actually not on this team. You're not one of us. That's just so horrible. But now it does kind of make sense. I guess we can blame it on Venetia Burney.
I mean, in fairness, this wasn't something that they just decided lightly, because the reality is this was a very expensive demotion.
Right. Yep. All
because
those books.
Textbooks, and museums that had displays that had to be changed. And this is part of what they argued about, you know, like, is it worth demoting this as a planet because of how expensive, you know, but science is science. And the facts are the facts. You have to stick with them. So here's what we have to know about why this decision was made, right? Pluto is 2,400 kilometers across, right? 1,500 miles. To compare it, like, that's roughly the size of the United States. So it was tiny. We discovered that there's more moons around it, and then we start realizing, hey, there's this belt of stuff, and it's a bunch of trans-Neptunian objects. So they call it trans-Neptunian because it's this belt of stuff that crosses that Neptune orbit, right? So just
right.
like just the same way that Pluto does, like sometimes Pluto is actually closer to the sun than Neptune is because of this elliptical orbit it has. They started seeing that, going, well, what's going on there? Well, they call this the Kuiper Belt. It's Kuiper, and I believe it's called Kuiper. This region is 55 astronomical units outside of Neptune, right? It's an arbitrary measurement, but it's one that we understand, I guess, because we consider the sun to Earth as one astronomical unit because we're the one with the people on it.
Right.
So we get to make this stuff up. So now that they kind of figured out what this Kuiper Belt was, they started to estimate that there are like 70,000 icy objects in this Kuiper Belt, right?
Right.
From what they understand, they're the same composition as Pluto. So now we're going, okay, well, maybe Pluto's not unique in this Kuiper Belt, right? This dude, Mike Brown, find this object called FY9.
Okay.
And FY9 is just a little bit smaller than Pluto. The largest known trans-Neptunian objects are Eris, which is actually bigger than Pluto.
Mm.
And it has a little moon called Dysonomia. Then there's Pluto and FY9, that's 2005 for when they found it. 2003 EL61, Sedina, Orcus, Quaoar, and Varuna.
So, and these are all larger dwarf planet size?
Dwarf planet size, right, because they fit the same definition as Pluto. And Pluto really doesn't fit all the other definitions of planets. We don't get to keep it.
So basically, we were premature in calling it a planet.
Right.
We just got super excited.
Right.
It was the first time finding our own planet where it wasn't
right.
like these were discovered by Galileo way back then. Look at we get our own. Ah, it's a planet.
At some point when we talk about things of an astronomical nature, at one point we thought that the sun went around the earth. Right?
Yeah.
At some
yep.
point someone had to say, "Well, about that."
Yeah.
All right, so this is a fantastic butt daddy. I guess we kind of answered the question about Pluto. We kind of it didn't fit the definition. Science is always about making classifications and definitions, and when they're able to find something that you're actually that's actually specific, then they have a rule, that, you know, and if you either fit it or you don't.
Right. And ultimately, in the end, hashtag thanks Venetia Burney.
Well, and hey, how much more do you talk about Pluto than any other planet now? I mean,
very true.
Okay, we
very
talk about
true.
Earth a lot, but
right. Yeah. No, I don't like when people talk about Pluto in a bad way. Like I've got like that big brother mentality of keep Pluto out of your mouth, you know,
right.
like
I mean,
Pluto matters. Come on.
Arguably, in this podcast, we spent more time talking about Pluto than Saturn, and Saturn is like way bigger than Pluto.
and probably way more interesting. It's not just a rock.
Right.
It's not just a rock.
So,
and the whole time I kept thinking, okay, can we get to Pluto? So there we go. That's
all right,
it.
So Butt Daddy Why, we don't know the answers. Go out and be scientists.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we'll close it out. We got to remind you that we do have Facebooks. And the Twitter. So we're at ButtDaddyY, both on Twitter and Facebook. ButtDaddyY.com. And then check us out iTunes, Stitcher, Leave a comment, rate us, we like it.
Yep. Subscribe, do all those things.
But make our moms feel good that they raised us.